Welcome back. The time is a little after 2:08:33, and we have a very distinguished guest with us today, and it's WAMC's live call-in talk show, Vox Pop. From fax machines to WikiLeaks, in just the past few decades, the way that we share information has vastly expanded, with journalists around the globe leading the way by utilizing new techniques and technologies to report instantly, and with unprecedented geographic reach. In just the last few years, some of the most important stories, notably the advent of the so-called Arab Spring and the Occupy Wall Street movement in the U.S., have depended on the use of Twitter and other social media to communicate with news consumers and connect news producers with journalists and sources on the ground. Joining us today to share his perspective on the past, present, and future of international journalism, and I'm going to ask him a lot about Pakistan, where he's from, is Adnan Rashid, the inaugural Pearl Shahzad Fellow, as chosen by the Daniel Pearl Foundation. Drawing inspiration from Daniel Pearl, the Wall Street Journal reporter was kidnapped and murdered in Pakistan in 2002. The Saeed Salim Shahzad, a journalist who was murdered in Pakistan in 2010, the Alfred Friendly Press Fellowship and the Pakistan Press Foundation trained 14 Pakistani journalists in conflict and investigative reporting, as well as safety precautions for journalists working in conflict-affected regions. This year, Adnan was picked from among those journalists to spend 6 months reporting in a U.S. newsroom, followed by 1 week at the Jewish Journal of Greater Los Angeles. As part of the program, he's been working at the Berkshire Eagle in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, where Daniel Pearl began his journalism career. Since April, he is joining us this week here at WAMC in Pakistan. Adnan worked for iMedia as a senior producer, leading a team of radio journalists in the KPK province and a federal tribal areas, focusing on social issues. He's also a contributor to the BBC Outlook. Adnan Rashid, welcome to the Vox Pop.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you here. Everybody, give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, at WAMC Vox Pop. Okay, Adnan, I guess the first question I want to ask is it dangerous where you work?
Yes, it is. And recently, UNESCO declared the second danger country for the journalist.
And after Mexico, yes?
Yes, after Mexico. Mexico is the first one, and Pakistan is the second one. And it's really risky job over there if you are doing journalism, especially if you are in the Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province and the Balochistan province, which is more close to the Afghanistan border.
Have you ever been personally threatened?
Yes, I did. I have received a lot of threats, and especially when I was running a radio station in the Swat Valley, and I was countering the illegal FM radio, because the illegal radio was just propagating the Islam for their own agenda, you know. And so I hired some religious scholar in my radio station, and my objective was to give a clear message of Islam, what is the real Islam. Islam is, you know, because those people were just, they hijacked Islam for their own propaganda, you know. They were using the name of Islam. And unfortunately, because of the lack of education, mostly female supported that thing. So when I started such kind of counter journalism, which is, to some extent, I say it's illegal, but I was giving the balanced opinion to the audience, you know. And I succeed in that, and then they threaten me that Adnan is trying, that he is doing really journalism, and he is trying to working for peace, but he is not doing that. So he gave threats to me, and then I escaped from that area for a week. But I didn't share this news with my family, because I don't want to scatter them, my father, my mother, and other family members. So I escaped, and I told them that I have some urgent work, and I'm going to the down districts, and I left the area for a week.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
Wow. And of course, you yourself are somewhat religious, are you not?
Yes, I am religious. You know, like, Islam is a peaceful religion, and if you are following with the real spirit, you know, and like, again, if you are just manipulating these such kind of thing, so everyone can use it for their own propaganda, you know. So I'm religious, and I'm following my religion. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Pakistan, Americans are confused about Pakistan. You know, we see Osama bin Laden. We see that there's a lot of people who suspect, who believe that the Pakistanis knew darn well where he was. It was right next to the military establishment and think he was being protected. So that on the one hand, the United States is being assured that Pakistan is in on the war on terrorism. And on the other hand, it looks like they may have two constituencies, us and the people who are doing some of the mischief.
I think for understanding of this Pakistani situation, we need to discuss about the history, how this kind of, you know, and the causes of this terrorism, you know, they started. You know, like all these, either it's Haqqani network, which is the more controversial issue with the U.S. and Pakistan relation, and the Osama, these people were, they were participating in the Soviet Union war, and ISI and CIA, both they trained them, and they funded them, and they give military training to them. And now we are expecting, you know, that they should hands up, and they should withdraw from this. So it's a very difficult. And when Osama was killed in Pakistan, so I was in the U.S. and really I was shocked. You know, so yes, the people of Pakistan also get confused with their government policy. Sometimes we are not following their what they are doing here. You know, so because he was in the Abbottabad, and Abbottabad was most safest area. We think it, you know. So it was really shocking news for the everyday Pakistani. And everyone want that the leader should be killed, you know. But again, the problem is that how it should be, you know. Like, I will just give you an example. Like here, when everyday Americans, they are grown up with the message that they have the freedom of expression. They should follow freedom of expression, you know. And when and the age of 18 or and any time of the life, you should endure this. You're right. You should not express yourself. Obviously, he will react to you. Same thing happened with these people. They were trained as a militants. They were trained in the military, you know. And now you are expecting them to be calm and just to be peaceful, which is not possible. They need some more psychological, training to them. And they should be like for example, here in the United States, I learned about some Soldier On program, you know, and their Soldier On program, I am trying to do some more research, and soon I will try to write about an article for the Berkshire Eagle on this issue.
I think we should say that you write regularly for the Berkshire Eagle, where you have been stationed for the last several months, and you write op-ed pieces.
Yes, I'm doing op-ed. So the Soldier On program, so they are giving a psychological training when those people who were in the war, psychologically they are used to with the war, and they need some psychological training to be in the peace, to adjust in the peaceful environment. Same thing has happened in Pakistan. We trained these people against the Soviet Union, and they were trained, but unfortunately we didn't rehabilitate them. We didn't give a psychological training to live peacefully, and now this is creating problem for Pakistan and even for the U.S. And recently, you know, because of the war on terror, Pakistan is most affected country because more than 40,000 people lost, and around 4,000 to 5,000 army Pakistani army, they lost their lives. So we are facing a lot of economic threats. Our economy also collapsed because of such kind of war. So I think we need to address this thing, and we need to look at what is the history is. And yes, ISI and the CIA both were supporting this thing, and there may be possibility that in some ground, the Pakistani army in the some rank, the Pakistani army official, they are supporting that kind of these militants. They have some soft corner for them because they were trained in that environment, and we didn't rehabilitate them. So this is something a problem. And as I give you an example, if you are teaching your child to freedom of expression, and you can't expect him that he should endure, surrender that right to you easily. you need, you know.
So you're saying, Anand, I want to make sure I get this right, that we trained them, the CIA did.
ISI too.
The ISI, the security services in Pakistan trained
both,
them.
Both, yeah.
And then once they're trained, it's very hard to say, okay, now behave yourselves.
Yeah. This is, and even Hillary Clinton also accepted one of, I found one of the clips up on the YouTube, and she said we trained them, and then we didn't help them to rehabilitate from that process, and now they are creating problem for us.
Okay, we're going to be right back, take a short break, but I do want to encourage everybody who has a question. We have a remarkable resource here in Anand Rashid. I want to make sure that if you don't miss this opportunity to give us a call, 1-800-348-2551. Again, 1-800-348-2551. You got a question about Pakistan, international journalism, we've got the guy. Now's the time to call.
Support for WAMC comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Pastoral and Parkland, American Landscape Paintings. With works by George Ennis, Winslow Homer, Albert Bierstadt, and more, arkellmuseum.org. Curran Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York, providing legal and consulting services to life insurers in a changing regulatory climate. CurranCompliance.com. Proctor's, presenting the Zoppi Italian Circus, outdoors under a real big top tent, in downtown Schenectady, August 9th through 13th, proctors.org. And Smith College Museum of Art, hosting second Friday, September 10th from 4 to 8, programs for all ages featuring the Jackleg Testament and Outside the Box exhibitions, smith.edu/artmuseum.
And we are back with Anand Rashid, a Pakistani journalist, a radio man, a writer of words, and a guy who has a look into the way things are. Sometimes they aren't like as they appear. Anand, I guess a lot of people are beginning to call. We'll have those folks on in a second or two. But I wanted to ask you very quickly, how do the Pakistanis feel about the Americans? We know how the Americans feel about the Pakistanis, somewhat confused.
Yeah, there are a lot of confusion, you know, and we have a lot of misperception about the American society, you know. And today, and sure, early in the morning, I also expressed that, you know, we are reviving the America through the White House and through the Pentagon. And unfortunately, we are getting some hard news from that. So we need to some community-to-community context, you know, that will create understanding. Just a light example I will give you, like, and mostly we are watching the Hollywood movies, so we are getting some, because most of them are science fiction movies and war and such kind of things.
Cowboy.
Yeah, cowboy. Yeah, so there are some, like, misperceptions too, you know, and that like before coming to the US, and my perception was that the Americans are not caring about their families, you know. But here I found that, yeah, they are caring about their families, although they are living separately, but they are connecting with each other strongly. And they are, so there are a lot of culturally, politically, and such kind of misperception is.
Fascinating. Okay, let's go to Lev in West Shokan. Okay, here you go. Hey, Lev, you're on with us.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Shafak.
Welcome.
A question for your guest.
Sure.
Ahmed Rashid's effectiveness as a Pakistani journalist on the West, is he effective?
Say again, because I didn't get that.
Ahmed Rashid, Pakistani journalist and author, his writing effective on influencing the West, influencing especially the United States' attitudes towards Pakistan?
You mean like Adnan Rashid or me?
Ahmed Rashid from
Ahmed Rashid.
Yeah, his effectiveness on influencing the West's attitude towards Pakistan.
I have no idea about them, so I can't comment on.
He's the author of Taliban and Descent into Chaos.
I have no idea, but. And what kind of influence he is trying to? I have no idea.
Okay, Lev. What are his major points?
His major points are very valid, and he's trying to be neutral, between the Taliban and the Pakistani military, especially the ISI. Well, so there's a lot of perception here in the United States that the ISI is corrupt. Could your guest comment on that?
Yeah, and make sure that they're not listening, but go ahead.
Okay, you mean like the ISI is corrupt?
Yes, is the ISI corrupt?
I think, unfortunately, there is corruption, politically, financially, there is a lot of corruption going on in the Pakistani government and the establishment, and we accept it, And this is why, people are not happy with them, and the Pakistani people are thinking that they are not representing us to some point, for example, mostly we are receiving aid from the international community, I found an interesting cartoon on the Facebook, and there was a big tank, and it was passing from different filters, and the people were receiving just the drops of the huge tank, So there is a lot of corruption going on, and the everyday man in Pakistan, they are not getting what the international community is trying to help them. So I will suggest, this is my opinion, that any international community, they want to relation with Pakistan, so they need some more transparency and such kind of thing.
Okay. Hey, Lev, thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Dr. Sharkar.
Right. I know we have a lot of people on the phone, but I want to ask you very quickly, is the Supreme Court, it's my sense that the Supreme Court is a respected institution in Pakistan.
Yes, Supreme Court and the army is also to some extent because of the discipline. Our politicians, they are not, because from the last 4.5 years, we have continuously political government, but they did a lot of corruption, and people are not happy with that, and they are not solving the problems. So the Supreme Court is regaining the power because in 2009 there was a judiciary,
sure.
There was a campaign was for the judiciary, and now the judiciary is trying to trial the Pakistani army, and they are trying to the political government, and even one of our prime minister recently, they were disqualified and because of the contempt of court, because he was the Supreme Court gave him order that he should reopen the corruption cases against one of the political party, and they didn't start it.
I remember following that.
Yes, and they disqualified him, because they were not. So there is a lot of. So the Supreme Court is gaining a lot of respect.
Okay, let's go to Janet in Albany. Janet, you're on.
Hi, I hope it's all right to ask a question about Afghanistan.
Sure.
Okay. I just wanted to hear the journalist's opinion about the state of women since the U.S. involvement and what he thinks will happen after the U.S. leaves.
Okay, Janet, I think... The woman, there is sometimes we are mixing the things, culturally the women are wearing the burqa, which is the cultural part, and unfortunately some Western media is just manipulating it that it's because of the religious, so this is something confusion, and there is a lot of violation going on, the women rights, they are not getting proper education, they are restricted to the houses, and so we need to work a lot for the women rights, and it's violating and a huge number.
That's in Pakistan. Now, what about the question being Afghanistan?
In Afghanistan, because I'm saying, addressing to Afghanistan and Pakistan, and it is in Afghanistan. In the Pakistan, yes, in the Mai region, in the tribal area, it's in the tribal area of Pakistan and the Afghanistan are the same context,
So go ahead, Janet. You want to follow up a little bit?
Why don't you contribute?
My contribution going on the Janet theme is that we know the Taliban was pretty cruel to women. There were beatings. There were, you know, you're not dressed appropriately. That kind of thing. United States pulls out of Afghanistan. There's a sense that it'll be back to normal with these folks doing exactly the same thing they did the last time. What do you think?
Yes, you know, like because of the cultural, you know, the female are not educated and they have no basic rights. I will just, you know, in simple words, they are not getting their basic rights. They are not getting education. They are not getting, other freedom of expressions, and even in the marriages concern. I'm talking about in the rural area of Pakistan. Sure. And the some extent of Afghanistan, you know, in the urban area, the situation is totally changed in Pakistan. So this is why I'm just differentiating, and this is something. Yes, there is violation is going on, and a lot of NGOs are working on this side, and but I think only solution is the education. If we are educate these people, you know, and education doesn't mean that we are just restricted to the classroom. We need some informal programs to aware them, you know, about these rights. So the problem will be solved.
Janet, I take it that you're worried about this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I am worried about it. And also, I mean, is there any effort to educate the men?
Yes.
To the value of women's rights.
Yes, that's why I'm saying, like, you know, we need to educate informal education. You know, we also need to educate informally. So, and informally, we can educate male and female both sided, you know. So, this is would be like.
Janet, I am sure you, as I, feel that this could be a real disaster. U.S. pulls out. Many people want the U.S. to get out of there, frankly, to get the hell out of there. And yet, there certainly will be consequences. You own it, you broke it. So that kind of
yes,
thing.
And the second part was that what would be happen if U.S. withdraw from the Afghanistan?
Sure.
So I think like because of the U.S. existing, you know, there is negative sentiment is increasing. But if the UN, the neutral, you know, UNO, yeah. If there is a UN forces exist over there, it is a neutral force, and so no one can object it, and they will control the line order situation. And there is a chance if the US or the international forces withdraw from the Afghanistan, so there is a chance of civil war again, which happened after the Soviet Union, you know.
Sure.
So I think the United Nations is the simple solution of that because they will be neutral and no one can blame it to one country. So this will be effective.
Janet, we take your point. Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go to Sarah in Great Barrington. How you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Well, you know, go ahead.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, dear.
Here's the thing. I'm wondering why no one's saying anything. I got to know a person that worked at a gas station about 2 years ago, a Pakistani man, who told me that he had come here with a promise of work, and the people that had brought him over, the people that owned the gas station, and they owned many gas stations, also Pakistani, and they brought him over, and they take away your passport when you're coming to work for them. So you can't lose it or leave. They pay you, they charge you for where you're living. So it's kind of like the old times when you sent farmers or the people. It seems abusive to me. And it sounded, well, he made it sound that he couldn't leave. And if he tried to leave, things could happen to his family. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, I think I'm not sure it's existing here in the in the U.S. or no, but the same cases we read in the newspaper and from the people in the Gulf countries, such kind of thing is going on when they invited the laborers and they are taking their passports and they can't go here and there. So it's kind of a slavery, you know, and it's happening and it's human rights violation, and we need to work on that. And recently I watched on the YouTube, you know, again, sorry, when I'm here, so I have a lot of free time and I'm searching a lot of some online material. So I found a CNN story and they did it, but it was not about the Pakistan, but it was about some diplomat who brought the laborers from the, I think from the Malaysia or some such kind of, from that area, you know, and they were not even giving them their salaries, and they were violating their rights and they were abusing them. Yes, so it's happening, and unfortunately, we need to work, and media can play their role for this. I can't say.
Well, you know, Sarah, that's right. I know the gas station. I mean, I know that there are these stories, and then the question is what one does about it, because a lot of the people who are here don't want to leave, even as bad as things are.
Yes, but you know, like I can't comment on such kind of thing because I have no experience of such kind of thing here.
Well,
you know.
Well, good. Maybe Sarah can comment. Sarah, you got anything to say?
No. I just think it's not right, and there was a time. Geez, about 5 years ago, it was exposed to the Chinese people that are getting kidnapped from the airports and put to work in Chinatowns all over that also can't leave the country. And I'm wondering why. Well, I guess it's a question for our government why we're putting up with this.
I think, and to some extent, I also read some stories about the Pakistani students who are working in the UK, United Kingdom, you know, and they are also, violating their basic rights, and they are not paying their standard because there are the low pay is £8 per hour or like that, but they are not paying like that, you know. So, again, there is need some steps from the government side, and the media, if they are continuously reported such kind of stories, so we can control this thing.
Sarah, thanks for the call. Good work.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Let's go to Chris in Hartford. Chris in Hartford, the number here is 1-800-348-2551. You got a chance to talk to Adnan. He brings us a great depth of knowledge, and he's the Daniel Pearl Fellow. As you know, Daniel Pearl began his journalism career at the Berkshire Eagle, a wonderful newspaper. Okay, so Chris, you're on.
Hi. I'm wondering if you agree that our two most recent occupations in Afghanistan and Iraq have been failures. And the fact that we are so dishonest about the so-called war on terrorism, what gives you hope for the future of world peace?
I think I believe that the people need to be aware, and if the people are aware, you know. So I'm hopeful that social media is playing their role right now on this, because it's giving you an in-depth thing. Because unfortunately, some media organization, which is a mainstream media, they can't report on such kind of stories, but the social media is playing their role and it's creating awareness. And yes, I agree with you that the war is not solution, and it's a failure in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and the negative sentiment is increasing. But if the people can come forward and they can play their role, so. And I already wrote one column about this in the Berkshire Eagle, and I hope you get a chance to read it about this. So,
yeah. So, Chris, your sense is that we've been lied to, and that things are not good. You want to go a little further on this?
Well, the previous program with Morris Berman sort of highlighted that, with the whole idea that, you know, we're not even honest about the reasons that terrorism happens in the world. We're so eager to say that we're number one, we're the best, and anyone who disagrees with us is wrong. And I think we need to look inward and try and understand the reasons that things happen.
Well, let's just ask Adnan about that for a minute. We only have a couple of seconds before we hit the post, but we know that we get ticked off when Osama bin Laden happens or something like that. But the Pakistani people don't like it when, guided missiles and things of that kind kill innocent civilians. This is a matter of fact. It's not a matter of educating people. It's that we do it and that people get angry at us for it.
Yes, you know, like, again, I will say that the reason is because why these people are joining the terrorist groups, you know. Why? Because, in other words, the terrorists were very limited number, you know. But why they are increasing and why they are not, we are failed to eliminate them, we are crushed them, you know. The reason is that we are trying to kill them, and because of that, unfortunately, we are creating more terrorists when we are killing the innocent people, you know. So this is something going on. And again, I will say, when if innocent people lost their lives, so the rest of the members, the family member, they are automatically, they are joining the other things. So okay. Side, yeah. So this is, yes, this is a lot of problems there are going in on. And if we are spending a huge amount on war, if we are divert this to the education, to the basic rights, and to the awareness, so we can do some good job.
Let's talk, Chris. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. It was a good call. Appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be back for the last third of the program.
Support for WAMC comes from SPAC, presenting the 22nd annual Saratoga Chamber Music Festival, sponsored by WAMC and WMHD, featuring the Worcester Quartet performing Boccherini, WC, and Dunani, Tuesday, August 7th in the Spa Little Theater, SPAC.org. Athos Restaurant, Albany, serving classic Greek cuisine, a part of the Mediterranean diet, featuring whole grilled fish, Greek salads, and desserts. Dinner served daily, athosrestaurant.com. Berkshire Botanical Garden, Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Container gardening and botanical creativity in contained exuberance. Education tour, August 4th at 11 a.m., berkshirebotanical.org. And the United Way of the Greater Capital Region, Albany, New York. Live United, Give, Advocate, Volunteer. UnitedWayGCR.org.
And we are back with our very special guest today. Anan Rashid, who works for iMedia as senior producer, leading a team of radio journalists in the KPK province and the federal tribal areas, focusing on social issues, who's also a contributor to the BBC Outlook. Anything you ever wanted to know, don't miss your opportunity to either make a statement or to ask a question. 1-800-348-2551. Your chances of getting in right now are very, very good. Let's go to Peter in Springfield. Peter, you're on.
Hello.
Hey, Peter.
Hi, Alan. I was wondering is this Anan? Does he attend a dialogue, a David Bohm dialogue at Hampshire College? I'm wondering if it's the same Anan that I know.
Where is it?
No, I think it's not. I think our friend today, Anan, is working at the Berkshire Eagle as a Daniel Pearl Fellow. And apparently there are people with similar names out there, as we have learned.
So he has no, he doesn't come to Hampshire College?
No.
Okay. He sounded very similar. Okay, thank you then.
Wait, don't go away. The point of your call was what?
I thought for sure this was the same Anan. He's a very engaging, a brilliant young man who attends a dialogue at Hampshire College on Wednesdays once a month. And I thought for sure it was the same Anan, and I was just thrilled that he was on the radio, but I guess it's not the same Anan.
Adnan, so let me ask you this, Adnan. Do a lot of people have sort of similar names in Pakistan? Like, we have a lot of Johns here in this country. And, of course, in some countries, a lot of Khans.
Khan.
For example. So
Khan is, you know, it's in our tribe name, you know, like mostly Pashtuns, which is living in Afghanistan and Pakistan. It's like, it's most common, you know. I'm also, so it's because of the tribe. And maybe it's like common name. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Hey, Peter, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much.
Okay.
How are things in Springfield?
Oh, there could be better.
who's going to win the congressional primary over there?
Well, I'm sure Richie Neal will.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he will, too.
I'm sure. I just hope they don't get the gambling in Springfield.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you, Peter. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Kathy in Cobleskill, 1-800-348-2551. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Alan, Dr. Chartok.
You can call me Alan. Go ahead.
I had a question, and your guest had made a reference to American movies in Pakistan. And I was curious about what the Pakistanis do for fun. I mean, they are majority Muslim, and from what I've understood about the religion, it's pretty restrictive. I mean, do they have their own movies? Do they have music and games? And, you know, what do the people do with any of their spare time?
Kathy, that's a great question. You know, across the border over in India, you have Bollywood. What do you have that's similar?
You know, like the Pashtun and the Pakistani culture, they are very rich culture, and we have a lot of music, and we have a lot of traditional, you know. And we are playing games, we are watching movies, mostly from India and from Hollywood movies. And so we are enjoying this. And we are also arranging on the weekend picnics, parties, and such kind of thing.
But even with Bollywood, you know, when you're watching Indian movies, and yet, you know, the Indians and the Pakistanis have not had a long relationship.
This is interesting, because, you know, we have not a good relation to the government, but the people love each other, you know. Although the cricket match, which is sports, we are most of the time we are just like, you know, it's a tough match, and we are both sides we are enjoying, like, yes, as you are enjoying the Yankee and the Red Sox and such kind of games. So we are enjoying the cricket match and watch movies. Although we have our own film industry known as Lollywood, but unfortunately they are not creating good thing. But mostly in the Bollywood, the Pakistani singers are going and they are singing over there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, the Pakistani singers are very famous, but they are great musicians, you know. And mostly Bollywood movies, the Pakistani singers are performing.
Now, you've made a point that because people think everybody in India is Hindu and everybody in Pakistan is Muslim, but that's not true.
It's not true. And even in India, more than the Pakistani population, the Muslims are living over there, you know. So it's like
huge number of
in India. Yes,
in India. Kathy, that was a very good social question. You got another one, or you want to call it quits?
What are the young adults, the older teenagers? I mean, do they have clubs? I mean, to my mind, there's not a lot of drinking going on, so they're not going out to bars. Do they have, you know, places where they can go and just mingle and be with each other?
Yes, there is no bars and such kind of thing, but yes, there is, like, we are doing sports is the basic, you know, activities for the youngster, you know, and in every evening, afternoon, they are, without the sports, the youngster can't, you know.
Well, what about women's sports?
The women, we have some more traditional games, which is inside the homes, which is playing, and mostly the, like, neighboring females, they are get together and they are playing. And when they are playing, so mostly male members are just avoiding to leave the home for them, that they can freely enjoy their time, you know. So this is something is happening, yeah. And I think this is a good question. You know, we are mostly we are playing sports and mostly picnic parties on weekends and such kind of thing. Yeah.
So let's, Kathy, you've exploded our board. Everybody's on the phone now. We thank you very much for calling, and we appreciate it. Thanks, Kathy.
Well, thank you for answering, and a pleasure to listen to this wonderful gentleman and all that he has to say about his country.
Aren't you sweet,
Thanks
Kathy?
A lot.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Yeah. Let's go to Nate in New York. Nate, you're on.
Hello, how you doing?
Pretty good.
A little while ago, we were talking about Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
And my question was, is it a common belief in Pakistan as well in America? Did people still think that he's responsible for 9/11? Because there's a growing movement called the Truth Movement, And it seems like the more people, any average people, just look into the facts, that their eyes will be open.
Well, Nate, okay, that. Nate, let's get an answer. Do the Pakistani people believe that this was a setup, or do they believe that Osama bin Laden, who, after all, did take credit for it publicly, was responsible?
Yes, there are a lot of perceptions, but when he get the credit, so everyone believe that he did it, you know. And I will say the majority of Pakistani and the everyday, the common man, they are happy with his death, you know. And majority, I'm saying, you know. And maybe there are some elements which are who are not
so
happy.
Are you saying he was a hero?
No, he was not.
Okay, he's not.
Even the people I know, even at least they can't think that he was a hero, but he said he was a terrorist, you know. And he you know, like, mostly people are against such kind of people because they came from the Arab, although we have a good relation with Arab and we have some inspiration because of the religion, but we don't want that they can change our tradition, because Pashtun community have their own tradition. Like, for example, I will just say we have Jarga now, because of these people, they when they came to that area, they renamed that Jarga, and they call Shura. Shura is the Arabic word, you know. So there is, and the people are not happy with that, but unfortunately they can't do anything because they are surrendered to them, you know.
So Nate, I think you got your answer.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, according to him, according to Anand, what has happened is that people believe he was a terrorist and that he did it.
Yes. I would just like to encourage the listeners, the people, to look into like Building 7 that also fell 7 hours after the first two in
okay.
a complete free fall.
Nate, we'll do that another time. Yeah. Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it.
All right.
Let's go to Anand in Pakistan. Anand, is that you?
Hi. Huh? Yeah, my name is Adnan Faisal.
Adnan Faisal?
Yes, my name is Adnan Faisal. I'm from Pakistan. I live in Canada, Halifax, Nova Scotia. But I just passing through in U.S., so I just listened to your conversation. So I actually want to talk about Pakistan.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Yes. My question is that, why the media person in Pakistan not talk about Karachi? And, you know, in Karachi have a disaster. Like 1,000 people died in past year. Why not people, the media people, talk about Pakistan? And, like, why are they not really serious about in Karachi as well?
Okay. Are you from Karachi?
No, I'm from Gujarat, near
okay.
Lahore.
Okay.
I'm Punjabi.
Okay, you are Punjabi. But I will say that today in the morning show, I explained that there are various groups, they are pressurizing Pakistani media, journalists, and the journalists are not free to say anything. And, you know, again, what's going on in Balochistan, do you know? Is that reported? No, it's not getting enough space in the mainstream media because there is not a freedom of expression. Although we are claiming that we are, the Pakistani media is free, but again, there are a lot of pressure from various sides, and we are, and this is the problem we have. And you know very well, because if you are from Pakistan, but again, I will say that the social media is highlighting this kind of thing. I will just refer to another thing. You know, recently Burma is the South Asia, another country,
yeah.
and a lot of Muslim were killed over there because of the, and the Buddhist is the dominant religion were there, and the mainstream media didn't cover that issue. Although there are a lot of debate going on right now that it is true or not, but through the social media, such kind of news are, you know, scamming to you, and you know very
okay,
well
stop
that
right there for a minute. Anand on the phone, this is interesting. Anand on the phone, do you go to social media? Because what this Adnan is saying is that the media has real constraints on it in Pakistan, but that the social media is coming to the fore. Are you finding that?
Yes, sir. There is also too much corruption on media too in Pakistan. Just recently, one guy caught. His name was Lukman, yes. And he was actually took some money from the fake politician person, And I think Adnan Rashid knows that, I believe.
Yes, I know it. And recently I wrote a column about this in the Pakistan, in the media corruption, and even not in the, how the media is. I wrote actually two columns about the media corruption in the Berkshire Eagle, and about the dead case. The title was Behind the Scene, you know. So you can, and I address it. And I agree with you that there is a lot of going on. And Pakistani media too, but
it's, yeah. Is it your impression, Adnan or Rashid?
I have just one more question.
Okay.
Just a request to this, Mr. Adnan Rashid. Please write a column for the Pakistani people that in Western, we live in Western country. Like myself, my wife, she work in a military. She work in a Canadian military, right? And I don't find any discrimination even in North America. And please write a column to tell to the Pakistani people as well. Like, in Western countries, they are not bad. Like, they never treated me bad. Like, I'm actually a truck driver. I come every week from Canada to U.S., and I never found discrimination.
Okay, stop. Stop, Adnan.
Exactly, and I agree with you. And so far, after 9/11, there was some bad news about the discrimination in the media. And when I came here, so mostly my friends are asking me about such kind of thing. And I say, from last 4 or 5 months, I never found such kind of thing. And yes, I'm through social media and this kind of thing, I'm writing it.
Well, do you guys do? Wait! Don't go away. But do either of you think very quickly that it's better in the West here than it is in other Western democracies, industrial democracies? In other words, do you hear? Is it worse in France? Is it worse in? I mean, what is it that you hear?
No, it's worse.
It's
in
worse.
In Pakistan, democracy is nothing there. Is it like all corruption, all huge people kidnapping? You know, like. I don't want to go, you know, like, I actually never take my children over there.
Okay, wait, go ahead.
And Adnan, I will comment to your first point that you raised that about the Karachi reporting, you know, and you know the MKMS, how they are, they have the military wing, it is political party, but they have the military wing, and they can't, you know, they can't allow the journalists to do free reporting. Even they are controlling the rating, and they are stopping the, and I discussed indirectly in the Today in the Morning show, that they, such kind, there are political parties, they are controlling these kind of media.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anand, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to Bruce in Ulster. Bruce in Ulster, you're on.
Yes, I have a question. How secure or insecure is the nuclear arsenal? In other words, the other side of the question, the side of the coin is, how vulnerable is Pakistan's nuclear arsenal to the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or any other form, any other terrorists that are getting a hold of one or more part of that nuclear arsenal?
Great question, Bruce. Let's give an answer.
Bruce, I think, in my personal opinion, it's safe, but unfortunately, sometimes the media are just not giving the in-depth side of thing, you know. So in my opinion, it's more safe, and because of that, in nuclear power, you know, we are spending a huge amount on the on military, and you know, we are not getting enough fund for the education, we are not getting enough fund for the other basic rights, but we are spending more than 60% budget, in around 75%, I'm not sure about, because it's recently changed it. So
But what about the main point?
My point is, it's safe, you know, and because, like, when initially the Taliban and the militants, they took the control of Swat Valley. So some media reported it. There is 2 hours away from the capital of Islamabad. But unfortunately, it was not 2 hours. They just only get the air distance, you know.
Oh, yeah.
and this is something different, you know. So, yes, there are, like, in my opinion, personally, I'm thinking, maybe I didn't did a proper research on that side, but I believe that it's safe.
But isn't it possible that some member of the ISI who has a particular bias against the West and the United States and maybe leaning toward...
Bruce, I wish we could go on, but we can't. We're up against the end of the thing. Take a look at your clock, and you'll see that, and it's a great question, and we thank you. It's one we've all got to bed and turn over a few times tonight. Thanks again.
Thanks. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay. We are just about out of time. I want to thank everybody who called in. Thanks to Adnan Rashid for joining us today. Vox Pop support comes from Amherst Cinema. Amherst, Massachusetts, featuring first-run independent film and world cinema, plays in HD from Britain's National Theater and a summer Woody Allen festival. AmherstCinema.org and the A.D. George Construction for over 25 years serving the Pioneer Valley's residential construction needs, remodeling additions, and more from design to completion, 413-256-6752. And Bra and Girl, 35 Railroad Street, Great Barrington, and North Street at Crawford Square, Pittsfield. A bra and lingerie boutique for women offering private fittings in sizes from 28A to 52H. BronGirl.com. And Lucky Chocolates, Saugerties, New York, organic and fair trade truffles and treats, seasonal chocolates, LuckyChocolates.com. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.